Good morning. Good morning and welcome to our chapel service. Inside of your bulletin for today, please find the day for Monday, and you will see a prayer there that we'd like to use as we begin. Let us join our hearts and voices in unison. O most merciful God, you have given your only begotten Son to die for us. Have mercy upon us, and for his sake, grant us remission of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading for today is taken from verses of Psalm 51, written by inspiration by King David following his sin with Bathsheba. And he prays to God, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When I was 23 years old, I was working in town in the summer doing some lawn and gardening work for a 90-year-old woman who had kind of a larger home and big garden. And one hot day, I was in her kitchen getting a drink of water at the sink, and I could hear her having a conversation out in the living room with, sounded like a young college student who had stopped by doing some kind of survey or something. And as I listened a little bit, eavesdropping, I could hear him talking very, very sweet and nice to her, trying to convince her that he was going to have her sign a contract and because of this end up getting some free magazines. I thought, this sounds too good to be true. So I came out into the dining room and living room and where they were sitting, and the look on his face to see me showed me something was wrong. And I said, Mrs. Shearer, do you mind if I take a look at that contract? And I did. And I realized she was signing a contract that ultimately, yes, she'd get free magazines the first round, but she was signing up for a subscription for about 4 magazines that would last for 2 years. It was going to cost her over $100. And when I explained that to her, suddenly the conversation ended and the man left very upset. What appeared on the surface to be such a nice gift from him to her, once she really saw and understood the motive in his heart, became something that she actually despised and would not want at all. In the text in front of us, King David is teaching us some things about how we approach God, and he's teaching us that there are things that we can bring to God that he does not want, even though he himself has asked for them. And that sounds very strange. Things that God would ask for, and yet that we could possibly bring to him that would upset him. In fact, that he would consider them to be an abomination. Well, here's the point that the Holy Spirit is teaching us today in this little text about what the basis of true religion is before God. If you expect that you or I, if you or I expect that your standing before God is going to be good because you have maybe kept your virginity until marriage, or because you have stayed away from drugs, or because you have decided never to get drunk, or because you watch your language closely, or because you stand up for the Bible says is right, or because you have dedicated yourself to living a good, clean Christian life, if these are the reasons that you expect to have a good standing in front of God someday, then God doesn't want them. They are gifts that he does not want. In fact, they would be an abomination to him. Now, these are things God has asked for from us. So what does God want from us? What is God looking for from us? What gift does he want us to bring? Well, King David answers for us. The sacrifices of God, in other words, the thing he wants to see us bring to him, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. These you will not despise. The Hebrew word for contrite is to be crushed. A spirit inside of us that is crushed because of our sins. You see, the outward act of bringing any kind of gift or sacrifice to God, the outward act of putting a large gift in the offering plate, or even the outward act of trying to keep yourself so pure as a Christian, is nothing to God if it is coming from a heart that is not depending on his mercy. If we approach God with anything that we bring him, as good as it may be, if it's not coming from a penitent heart that recognizes our sin and is leaning and depending only on his mercy toward us in Christ, God doesn't want it. That's what David is saying. And he's teaching us the importance of what we call contrition, to have true sorrow in your heart before God over your sin. Back in the 1300s and 1400s, there was a theologian named Thomas A. Kempis, and he said this: "Blessed is the person who can throw off all the things that can distract in life and gather himself to the one single purpose of holy contrition." This is where religion begins, from God's perspective. I have a brother-in-law. And back when he was about your age, he was informed that he had juvenile diabetes, which is not a very good diagnosis to receive. Maybe some of you are living with that yourself. But his doctor said to him that for some people, hearing this diagnosis can actually extend your life because you pay more attention to your health and you're more careful with your health. Contrition, and to have a lingering memory of a particular sin, maybe that you fell into, maybe one that was so big that it just stays in your mind and heart, or maybe it's something that's been so frequent, that sense of contrition and sorrow over your sin, as much as it hurts, can be used by God and to be spiritually healthy for you as long as it keeps you at the foot of the cross, as long as it keeps you realizing how much you need what your Savior did when he shed his holy blood for you. This teaching that David is teaching us is paradoxical in a way. It's wonderful. It's also extremely comforting. God wants you to know him and to relate to him only through his mercy to you in Christ. And he wants you to approach him only through the cross of your Savior. And David is, if you think of David's situation, we're going to hear more about that story with Bathsheba tomorrow in our chapel. But if you think of David's situation, God is also showing us that no matter who you are, no matter how deep your fall into a particular sin has been, no matter what the sin has been, no matter how frequently you have fallen into that sin, if you approach God with a humble heart and confess that sin and approach him only on the basis of his great mercy in Christ, this is the religion of heaven. This is what causes the angels in heaven to rejoice. Remember that great story of the prodigal son and how the father was looking down the road waiting for his son to come back to him? And his heart was so filled with joy and anticipation when he saw that boy finally coming back down the highway, and he ran out to meet him. And he was elated when his wicked, evil son came back humble and penitent, and he couldn't wait to fall on him with his love. Well, today, through my sinful mouth, your Heavenly Father stands in front of you, waiting patiently for you to come back down the road through repentance, and to come and have him fall on you with his love and his mercy, his compassion, and his grace. Now let's go back to those gifts I talked about earlier. When your reason for preserving your virginity until marriage, or your reason for not doing drugs, or your reason for watching your language closely, or trying to stand up for what God says is right, when your reason for trying to live a truly Christian life is being done out of gratitude to God for his grace to you for forgiving you all of your sins, when your reason for those gifts to God is that they are accompanying the sacrifice of a penitent heart, then they are beautiful presents before God. Amen. We continue with our next hymn.